Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have good news for you. And the good news is, I'm happy. And you can be happy also.
H-A-P-P-Y.
Yes. And that's a wonderful thing to realize, that you can be happy. That you can be happy all the time. That happiness is not anything that's conditioned from anything on the outside of life. Happiness is a choice that you make. Happiness is always inside of you. And you have to make that choice and say to yourself, today, I choose to be happy. Today, I choose to be happy. Nothing on the outside of life affects me one iota. It never moves me from my happiness. Then you can look at the outside world and the different opportunities that come into your life completely differently. Completely differently. We were talking earlier tonight, Rhoda and I, and Andy, who was there, about when it rains. When you're a child and it rains, you go, oh, great, it's raining. Ha, da, da. When you get older, oh, it's raining. Oh, my, now I'm not happy anymore. I can only be happy when the sun's out, when it's a wonderful day. Rain has nothing to do with your happiness. Rain has nothing to do with your happiness. How many people blame everything on the traffic? They blame things on the traffic. Traffic has nothing to do with anything. It cannot cause anything to happen to you. It cannot cause anything to happen to you. Traffic is an effect. Anything you see on this plane of action, if you can see it, it's an effect. So you always have to go to cause. And the only cause on this plane of action is your mind, is your thinking. And once you realize that you are causing everything in your life, once you realize that you can be happy for no reason whatsoever, you can be happy all the time. Instead of allowing conditions to dictate how you're going to feel, you can make that choice. And that's what this teaching is all about. It's teaching you that you can control this mind, that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours, and that you can use it. And we're just not used to using it in that way, because we see everyone in the world react to things, react to stimuli on the outside of life. So we think, oh, that's the way humans do it. So we imitate other people. We imitate other people. Don't imitate other people. Be yourself. But learn to be happy. That doesn't mean that things are not going to come into your life that you're going to say, oh, this is a challenge right now. This is an opportunity. But I'm going to be happy through this opportunity. Even when my friends in the world says, oh, you can't be happy in this situation. Nobody's happy in this situation. You can prove them wrong. You can prove them wrong. And you can maintain your happiness. The whole idea in life is choice. It's choosing how you want to feel. And it's choosing how you want to think. But it's particularly choosing how you want to think about yourself. How you want to think about yourself. We are always the cause unto our own experience, which means we are the ones that are causing the experience. We are the ones that are causing everything that comes into our life. Whether you can analyze that and figure that out or not, doesn't matter. You have to do that for yourself. Because if you don't take responsibility for everything that comes into your life, you are going to blame something else for it. And if you blame something else for it and not take responsibility, you cannot change it. You cannot change it. And yes, you can have your mind and say it was their fault. They did this, 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 and this. But it doesn't matter. You have to change your perception and say, all right, I'm ready to take the responsibility for that. And I'm not going to blame anybody. And you don't blame yourself either. You look at it and you change your mind. It's all about perception. Life is how you are perceiving it. But you are the one that's perceiving it. There's a little saying which says, the world is something, not just a, but the world is the way you are. Oh, you do not see the world the way it is. You see the world the way you are. We always see the world the way we are. We always do that because we think that we're that important. And we think that this mind is really giving us the right information. We never see with our eyes, people. We see with our mind, with the perceptions that we put in there. And once we change that, the world looks different. The world looks different. So make yourself happy each day. And don't say it that I'm waiting till I get the $1 million and then I'm going to be happy. If you don't train yourself to be happy now, $1 million is not going to do it for you. You think $1 million is going to stand up and say, yeah, now I'm going to make you happy. And this is the exercises you go through to be happy. No. Money. But wonderful thing. I love money. And money loves me. But I do not allow it to make me happy or unhappy. I allow it to be money. And I allow it to be freedom. But it does not affect me. It does not affect my happiness. Think of those things. And if you're waiting till you get a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or this happens or that happens, and then you're all of a sudden you're going to be happy. If you haven't trained yourself to be happy now, you're not going to be happy then. You have to train yourself. Life is a do-it-yourself project. A do-it-yourself project. And we're always in training here. And we're training ourselves. We're training ourselves to be and to become what we want. And we want to be happy. We want to have peace of mind. We want to have money. We want to have relationships. Well, we have to train ourselves. We have to train ourselves to do that. And not allow the world to do it, or the weather to do it, or the traffic to do it, or a friend to do it, or a lover to do it. Because if you don't stay in that center and totally love yourself, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. And somebody telling you, oh, I love you, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I bet. Thank you, no. We have to do it for us inside of our own self so that we are absolutely independent. We have to always remain independent, but we have to be interdependent at the same time. Different. We're all interdependent on each other. And we can be interdependent and independent at the same time. But we can be happy. We can be happy. You can choose happiness for yourself right here and right now. So that if you don't grow old and bitter. I know a lot of old, bitter people. They're not here. Who wants to grow old and bitter? You have to make up your mind. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to see happiness all around me. The one little card tonight. You can attract that which you first mentally become and feel yourself to be in reality without any doubting. This is Ernest Holmes saying, by the way. I didn't give him credit there. You have to become what you want to be. You have to become what you want to be. Remember when I said, you are your money? We're always our money. It's our consciousness that's creating that money. Therefore, that is ours. That is our money. It just goes out like that. And if you want a friend, you have to become friendly. You see, whatever you want, you have to become. You have to do it from your center. And then it moves out and attracts things to it. But you always must become what you want to be. And you just assume that that is happening. Did you have a question?
I just heard recently, I think it's back from Socrates, but it's not the experience, but it's the story that you give it afterwards.
Oh, yes. We're always, that's my Andy says, don't go into story when you ask a question. So many people do so many things because they think the story of their life is important. The story of your life is not important. It's not important. Don't make it important. And don't take the story of your life personally. Just don't do that. Don't take anything in life personally. It's a hard way to go through life because you're always going to be upset. But we all have stories attached to us. I used to see a sign for the LA Times that a person's face, and it says, inside everyone there is a story. Well, there is a story inside of all of us. There's a story in there. But we don't have to go through that story every time to arrive at the present. Carolyn Mace, who is a medical intuitive and a great author, said, your biography becomes your biology. Your biography becomes your biology. What does that mean? If you keep saying, I'm sick, this happened, that happened, this, it's going to become you. It's going to take root inside of you. So what happened in the past has no influence on you whatsoever. The world would like to tell you that you're this way because your parents did this to you, your parents did that to you. That's what the world out there wants to tell you. You can say, yes, they did all those things, but I'm not taking it personally. And I'm an adult now, and I have a mind of my own, and I can think through this. And I forgive them and I forgive myself for thinking that way. And you move on with your life. You see, when people used to come, when I was a minister, and they went for marriage, big one, questions I would ask them. First of all, if you're ever in a relationship, there's only ever two questions you must ask at the start. Do you know that you are responsible for your actions? And most people will say, absolutely, I am responsible. Do you know that you're responsible for your reactions? Well, I don't think so, because he caused me to do that. He caused me. No, I didn't have that. I didn't have that accident because, no, it was the traffic. It was my boss. If you're in a relationship where those two items are not clear, I will tell you what will happen 100% of the time. 100% of the time. You cannot escape it. When you get into a fight or an argument in the relationship, the finger will be pointed at you because you caused it. You were the blame. You were the fault of this. Because the other person cannot take responsibility for their reactions. You have to be able to take responsibility for your reactions to everything that goes on and then decide how you're going to act about it. If you don't, you're acting automatically. You're just acting automatically. Then, when we could get through those two questions, the next question that came up was, how is your relationship with your parents? And if they say, I hate my father, then you don't want that person either. Because if you can't love 100%, the love will not last if the person confesses to you. Because you can't have love and hate going on at the same time. And people think they can do that. I can hate my parents, but I can love you. You cannot do that. It means forgive your parents. As I often say, my parents were no day at the beach. But I can also sit right here, right now, and say I love them dearly. As you know, love them dearly. And each day I love them more. And I'll tell you one reason the other day it came up in my mind why I like them. I turned out to be a decent person. And I'm giving my parents credit for that. So each day, learn to love these people. And the other stuff, let it go. Let it go. You've heard it all your life. Love is the answer. And love is always the answer to everything. It's the absolute answer to everything. There isn't a problem that you could do right now that love would not take care of. Absolutely. Takes care of everything. I hate my job. Learn to love it. Learn to see the love there. And you'll start to love the job. I don't like my partner. Learn to love your partner. I don't like the money I'm making. Learn to love money. Learn to love it. My health isn't good. Learn to love good health instead of concentrating on sickness. Love is always the answer. Across the board, people would like to say it's this, that, and the other thing. But it'll always boil down. There's only ever one problem. I said that before. If you're having a problem, it's a God problem. Across the board, it's a God problem. The world doesn't want you to know that. They want you to think it's this, 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 or a combination of all these things. I watched a documentary the other night on the Jewish people and the Muslims and why they have always been in conflict, which I didn't know went back since day one, and how they've been killing each other and doing this, that, and the other thing. And the commentator says, well, it's because of this and it's because of that, and listed at least 6 or 10 reasons why the Middle East is in the shape that it's in and why they're always fighting over there. None of that. That's all bull. That's the way the world wants to think. The only problem is a God problem. They all say they worship one God and there's only one God. But my God's better than your God. It's always a God problem. It's always a God problem. It's always a love problem. If you loved everybody, we wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have all these conflicts and so forth. The world wants to tell you that we have to have this, that we've always had this, and that's the way the human race is. Don't believe that about yourself. You're magnificent people, magnificent human beings. There's a wonderful, wonderful life inside of you. There's a spirit inside of you. And you have to see that spirit and let that spirit out. So that you know how magnificent you are. How magnificent. Each and every one. You have to start seeing that in yourself. Let's look at this next card. Always remember that spirit makes things out of itself. It manifests in the visible world by becoming the thing that it wills to become. That it wills. There's only... Again, one thing very much she said, well, there's only God. So God is always making things out of itself. There is no other way that that can be done. Now, any religion that says that that is not true, they're not looking at it correctly. because they say there's God and there's man. And I say there's only man as God. Only man as God. The same way, chair only as God. Rug only as God. Because there's only God. And once you realize that there's only God, and God makes everything out of itself, then you can say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. There is no other material to be worked with. You had to come from God. There is no other material to work with. So when they say God and man, no. It's always God as man, or man as God. It's one in the same thing. It's one in the same thing. Remember when Moses said, ask God, who are you? And God said, I am the I am that I am. I am the I am that I am. I am the big I am. You are the small I am. We're all part of that. We're part of the big thing. So we have within us all those qualities. When you hear that expression, made in the image and likeness of God, that means inwardly. That means inwardly. When religion was taking form and shape, when they had people that could not read, when they were trying to convince the pagans that there was a god, they had to make their god at that time anthropomorphic, which means God has to have hands and legs and arms and all of this stuff. God does not have those things. But God does have those things. Because this is God's hand. And so is this one. And that one. All around. These are the hands of God. You have to know that. You have to know that. Then we get out of that idea of separation of any type. So there is no separation. Right there, is that not enough to make you happy? There's no separation. You're one with this thing. Now, once you realize that, you can change your life with that. Because what does a God do? A God is always creating. A God is always creating. Do you know any God that doesn't create? What would be the sense of having a God if a God didn't create? And a God that creates out of itself. So when you're trying to do a demonstration or anything, you have to know that all the material is right there in front of you. All we are ever doing is rearranging everything. There's no new material to work with. We rearrange it into what we want it to be. We just rearrange it. Physics can prove that one. We just rearrange things. So when you want something, and you're doing a demonstration, and you think, oh, it requires this, this, and this, and this, and it requires, oh, I have to get this, this, and I'll have to put all this together like baking a cake. Eggs, flour, milk. That's three different ingredients. When you're trying to make your demonstration, you have to know, I'm only working with one thing, God. I'm only working with one thing, God. And if I'm not receiving what I'm asking for, it's because I have not become that. Because I have not become that. I have not changed my consciousness and my thinking to allow that to happen for me. Because God holds back nothing. God holds back nothing. We always say, God loves you. And that's what God does. God is always loving and always giving. Always loving and always giving. We have been taught that God gives and God takes away. God does not take away. They love that at funerals. I don't use that one. God never takes away from anything. God changes. You change, I change. And we always become more. We always become more. You can't diminish God, and you cannot diminish yourself. You cannot diminish the spirit that's within you. You cannot diminish that spirit. You can try your best not to recognize it and not to allow it to operate in your life, but you cannot diminish it. So you might as well make up your mind right now to allow it to come forth and help you all the time. And help you all the time. Just say to it, show me the way. I'm completely lost here. I'm completely baffled. I don't have one idea of what I'm doing. But I know you do. I know you do. And I trust you to do this for me. I trust you to do this for me. Remember, God, ways and means, you and me, fun and entertainment committee. Fun and entertainment committee here, ways and means there. So I don't go to the ways and means committee and say, oh, well, I think it should be done this way, and I think you should do this, and I've got that out, and better. No. I say, look, here's what I want. I've no idea how to do this. I've no idea how to get this. But here, you do. Now, there's my order. And I place the order, knowing that it's going to come back to me, knowing that I'm going to get it. And then I sit. And I clear my consciousness, I clear my thinking of any doubts that tell me I can't have it. It's the negations in our life that keep us from having what we want. I've always said this, and I will always say it, the world is very convincing, but so's your mind. Your mind is very convincing. It can convince you that you're a pauper or you're a prince. That's the choice. Once you decide, oh, I'm the prince, now you say to your mind, that's what I want, go to work on that. And start becoming that. Start becoming that prince. Start becoming the thing that you want. That's one of the basic laws of metaphysics. You have to become what you want to be or what you want in your life. You have to do that. And it'll work for you. It will work for you across the board. So learn to be happy. Just make up your mind. I'm going to be happy. And I'm not going to waste any more time. The other night I said to myself, well, Dallas, now you're 64. And I talked to a friend of mine who just celebrated her 83rd birthday. Just came back from Thailand. And I said, Colette, how are you feeling? She's just great, just absolutely marvelous. So I said to myself, okay, she's 83, I'm 64. Okay, 20 years. 20 years or more. But I'm going to give myself at least 20 years. So then I said to myself, now, in those 20 years, how am I going to behave? How am I going to feel about myself? Am I going to be happy for the next 20 years? I'm the one that's doing it. I'm the one that's choosing to be happy for the next 20 years. Because I don't want to waste any more time in my life. I don't want to waste time with these problems. I want things cleared up, and cleared up quickly. I don't believe in these 10-year things. It'll take you 10 years to alleviate this problem. I don't think so. Thank you very much. I want to be happy and prosperous and abundant in those 20 years. I do not want to waste my time feeling poorly about myself. Feeling poorly about myself. And we do not have to do that. How many people here, except for the new people, still do wonderful, wonderful me? You must do that. How many people do? I'm lovable. I'm worthy. I'm deserving. And I matter. With that, we're going to do our matter dance. You haven't been here for the matter dance. All right. And you haven't. You have to stand. It worked. All right. Are we ready? I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yay! Please know that you matter. It makes all the difference in your life. And not just once in a while, but every day. Know that you matter, because you do matter. This thing that we call God would be incomplete without you. God needs you. God needs you. How else do you think God's going to manifest on this plane of action without you? You're very, very important. Each and every one of us are an individualized expression of the one mind, the mind of God. So look at yourself. You were the one who explained it with the pixel, weren't you?
Yes.
That you're absolutely. I'm going to ask Tom to explain that for people who, when I say God would be incomplete without you, and if your mind can't grasp that, he will clear this up for you. Please.
Visually, when that subject came up, if any of you have ever seen a computer monitor where a pixel is missing, or a television screen, whatever you're looking at is incomplete, and your eye is always drawn to one single pixel which is missing, and how even just one pixel is important in the whole scheme of things.
Yes. So think of yourself as a pixel for God. And if one pixel's missing, there it goes. The picture is no longer clear. The picture is no longer clear. You're absolutely needed. You're absolutely appreciated. And you're totally loved. Think of those things. Don't allow that little mind that you have to tell you differently. Don't allow it to do that. On Sunday, I went to a concert at St. Sophia's, the Greek Orthodox Cathedral. Beautiful place. And around the dome, there's a little saying, and it's attributed to Jesus. And it says, amend your ways and your doings. Amend. Love that word, amend. We see that all the time. We're always amending something, aren't we? Contracts or this or that, the other thing. The power that we have is the power to amend ourselves, which means to change ourselves. Amend your ways and your doings. Jesus was saying, metaphysically, change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about yourself. Change the way that you're doing things. Change your doings. When you change your mind and your doings, things happen. People want to stop drinking, but every night they go to the bar. That's not changing. You're doing. You see, you can operate from either end of the spectrum because God doesn't know the difference. You see, if you start changing who you're hanging out with, where you're going, and what you're doing, your life has to change. Your life has to change. And when you start thinking of yourself differently, your life has to change. Everything proceeds from thinking. Thinking is the only cause there is. And each time we think, we cause something to happen. We have to remember how powerful we are. And we have to learn to think the thoughts that we want to think. We have to teach ourselves to do that. No one else is going to do that for you. And you have to get rid of all that stuff that comes up. You know. And I still have things that come up from 30 years ago. And I say, get out of here. Stop showing me this. Stop showing me this. And it gets less and less and less. And that's what we need. Because when I'm 84, I don't want it coming up. And if I don't correct that now, think of all the stuff that's going to come up in your mind. That means absolutely nothing, most of it. Means absolutely nothing. Means absolutely nothing. A race mind alert. I heard this one man say to the other man, "Hello, how are you and how's the battle going?" And the guy says, "Well, which battle?" And then he named all the different problems that he was having in his life. For some reason, we like to use in our vocabulary war terms to describe things. If we're not using war terms, we're always using some game. The ball was in your court. I would suggest that you give those things up. I also, this idea that you're always at war with something. And the first thing you always hear is somebody's battling something. They're battling their finances. They're battling their health. The first thing I hear when somebody's diagnosed with cancer is, "I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it." And I often hear people say, "You know, there's a battle going on inside of me. I'm torn this way and I'm torn that way." That's complete race mind. Don't think of your life that you're on the battlefield. That's a horrible way also to go through life. That's as bad as it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's not a dog-eat-dog world out there. Give up the idea that there's any competition whatsoever. But there's any competition whatsoever. There's only creativity going on in the mind of God. Therefore, there's only creativity going on in my mind. It's an absolute impossibility to have competition because God never competes against itself. And since there's only God, who would God compete against? So when you realize that, when somebody says, "Oh, they're competing for the party, they're competing for the job," you have to sit down and say, there's no such thing as competition. There's only creativity. And I'm an individualized expression of that creativity. And if this job is the right one for me, then by right of consciousness, it is my job. But there is no competition. And there is never anyone out to take something from you. The world wants you to do that. The world wants you to believe that. They sell many products to protect you against other people. The latest one that came out a couple years ago is the shredder. We have to shred everything now because somebody will look at it and they'll take it and do something. That's complete fear. That's complete fear. I'm not saying that those things do not happen. But if you think in your mind that this is going to happen, it will happen. It will happen. I do not have that fear. I gave that fear up years ago. So if somebody takes something from me, I just love it, bless it, release it. But I also say, if it's mine, by right of consciousness, it will be returned to me or its equivalent. Or its equivalent. And I have proven that many times, things come back to me all the time. Because they belong to me. They belong to me. But then I'm not out either, taking things from other people. You see? The world would like to tell you that all that's going on. And there's much more to life than what we hear on the news or see in any of the media whatsoever. All that bad news is 5% of what's going on in the world. And we concentrate on that and think it's the only thing that's going on. And when we do that, we expand it. We expand it. What you put your focus on grows. What you put your focus on grows. So put your focus on what you want in your life. Put your focus on that. Say to yourself, I only allow thoughts to come into my mind that heal me, bless me, and prosper me. That heal me, bless me, and prosper me. Any other thoughts are not allowed in my mind. And then put a sentinel right here in the front of your mind. Call it the gatekeeper if you want. And any thoughts that come here have to pass through. And if they don't heal you, bless you, or prosper you, they do not enter your mind. They do not enter. You'll see all the difference in the world with that. Okay? Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. For the new people, when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what God or the universe already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming the good in our lives. I'll do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And here's what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with God. And because I am one with God, I am creative. And I know that I create with my thinking. Therefore, I watch my thinking. And I allow my thinking to only be held on thoughts of abundance and prosperity and money. I see money and abundance and prosperity constantly, everywhere around me. And I become a magnet for those things. And I allow those things to stick to me. I love money. And money loves me. And I let that be so. And so it is. Have I lost the newcomers? Good. Usually when I have newcomers in the crowd, I don't go that far and say, I love money and money loves me, because that makes people pitter-patter out of here very quickly, because they think that that's absolutely sacrilegious. But now, how can we explain that it's not sacrilegious? Well, that's quite easy. If everything is God, therefore money is God also, and money is always God in action. Because you can't have God and money. You can have God as money. But you can't have God and money. Why? Because that would be separation. And we don't teach separation. There's no separation in the mind of God. There's only unity in the mind of God. Okay? All right, with all that babbling, we'll get into tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is blame, by the way. And about all the blame that we see in the world. And it starts always at the highest point. Look at our government. It blames everything on something else. So therefore, we think blame is absolutely right and absolutely necessary. And if you take blame out of your life, you won't have much to talk about. Your conversations will be very short because you won't be able to kvetch about all the blame and what other people have done to you. And if this wasn't happening and that wasn't happening, then I can't get this because this and that and the other thing. Do not blame. But the main thing is, don't blame yourself. Never blame yourself. Blame and guilt are man-made. They're not true emotions. They have no life of their own. Once you take your energy away from them, your focus away from them, they dissolve. They just dissolve. But we are taught that blame is necessary to motivate us. The only thing that blame does is takes your power away from you. It takes your power away from you. When you blame anything, you have placed the power outside of yourself. And you have placed it on that object or that circumstance or that condition. And you're saying that is what is causing it. That is what is causing it. And it's never causing it. It's never causing it. There's only one cause, and we call it in this teaching first cause. And first cause is mind, or first cause is God, or first cause is the mind of God, which we all live, move, and have our being in. So our mind is first cause to us. It is causing what is happening. And when we know that and get rid of the blame, we can then take that responsibility to change the condition that we're in. Instead of allowing the world to tell us otherwise, that this is because of this, that, and the other thing. I told the story about being in Monte Carlo with an older English couple. I wasn't with them. They were at another table. I loved to eavesdrop. Talking to an American couple. They were both in the service and they both served in India when it was a colony, when it was part of the British Empire. So you could imagine, they were quite old and really royal looking. The woman had a lorgnette. Do you know the little lorgnettes? That's a pair of glasses on a stick that you can look at. She's looking at the menu. Yes. So anyway, the English lady asked the American lady, how are your grandchildren? And the American woman immediately gets her wallet out. Down comes the accordion file of these grandchildren. And the English woman said, oh, yes. Very nice. Now, the American woman says to the English woman, and how are your grandchildren? She said, oh, they're all good. She said, you know, but they have to eat at 5, and we never eat at 8, so I don't see them very much. She said, you know, it's not a child's world. It's a grown-up's world. And the American woman says to her, and what are their names? And she goes, names? Names? She looks at her husband and she says, what are their names? This is a true story. But this is not the point. I'm getting the point. I just love this. So then, they were talking back and forth, and the American woman said, well, you know, my daughter is in therapy, seeing a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist thinks that the whole thing, the whole cause of this, is my fault. I'm to blame for it because I potty trained her too soon. this English woman picks up that clarinet, looks at that woman and says, sounds like an American idea to me. You see, it's just an idea. It's just an idea. You're always first cause. Because your mother potty trained you too soon doesn't cause anything unless you think it causes something. Unless you think it causes something. So don't allow your mind to take